glad you're here. Super Tuesday behind us now. And it looks like we're on our way to a rematch of Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Now, if the election were held today, Donald Trump would walk away with a victory. It's quite clear, especially with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the race, because as long as he's in the polling, the margin of victory for Donald Trump gets wider. 97% of Republicans say they'd vote for Donald Trump. But what if Joe Biden somehow comes out on top again? What if they game the system in some fashion again to push him forward? Well, that would be devastating to the gun industry. Here's a headline from Dr. John Law from the Crime Prevention Research Center. Biden destroying the firearms industry. And you read into it and you find out that their zero tolerance policy that's supposed to be aimed at, you know, people doing rogue things and bad things is really about anything they can find, any minor mistake in paperwork destroying the industry. Joining me now is Dr. John Law. Doctor, good to have you back.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
I mean, you've taken quite a look here. You've dug into it. And you're finding, you know, inconsequential errors and paperwork. And they're going after people's licenses for this, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they're going after people's licenses, taking them away for tiny paperwork mistakes that even the Obama administration had cleared them for, saying that it was trivial things. You know, simply one time on a form transposing two letters in a county name or something like that. They'll go after them. But it's really a whole group of ways that they're going after these firearm companies, trying to put them out of business. I mean, obviously taking away their license is one thing, but they're also revived the old Operation Choke Point from the Obama administration, where they put pressure on financial institutions not to go and do business with companies and industries from energy to firearms, to even cattle, you know, because they don't like the cattle industry. So they're putting them out of business. I mean, there are workarounds that you can do, but it adds to the cost, and some of the marginal firms go out of business. And then on top of that, they've been going after the larger firearm sellers by saying that if they can find 25 guns that they've traced to that store, then they impose really draconian additional paperwork requirements on them. And the thing is, if it's 25 guns, first of all, tracing can occur even if you don't have a crime involved with the gun. There are other reasons why they can do it. They can simply be interested in looking to see where a gun was sold from. But, you know, if you have 25 guns you sold and they trace 25, maybe there's something to look at there. But, you know, let's say you've, over a few years, you've sold 30,000 guns from some really large store like Cabela's or something.
Right.
You know, then, you know, 25, it doesn't seem very important. I mean, you know, so, but they, rather than looking at the percentage of the guns that you've sold that may be traced, they just say if you get to 25,
here's an arbitrary number.
Go and do the.
Here's an arbitrary number. It could be a fraction of 1%, which it would be, obviously. So it's Cabela's, Bass Pro Shops, Shields, Rural King, Sportsman's Warehouse, all the big box stores that still sell guns. Dick's, of course, got out of the gun business a long time ago. They're just a basketball store. They're not worth doodly squat on fishing equipment either. Just for the record, as I'm going to take a shot at Dick's, but. All right, how do these companies fight back? I mean, and let me ask you this. If the Supreme Court overturns the Chevron doctrine, which is entirely expected at this point, come June or by the latest about July 1st, it would strip a lot of this power away from the EPA, would it not?
The BATF, right. Well, it would strip some of it away. Unfortunately, for some of the rules that they're having, they're relying on some changes that have occurred in the recent Bipartisan Community Safety Act that we've talked about before that got passed in 2022. So, you know, it's just a question of what types of rules we're talking about here. You know, and they have some discretion anyway, even when you do ultimately take away, you know, the Chevron doctrine, which I think most people realize is pretty much gone at this point. In fact, in the recent Supreme Court arguments that they just had, the government, the Biden administration, didn't even argue Chevron-type defenses for the regulations that they were talking about.
It's remarkable, the overreach of government when it comes to a variety of things. But nothing has been more important to Democrats than taking guns away. Of course, they say every election, say, oh, we respect the Second Amendment. We don't want to take guns away from law-abiding Americans. But that's just an absolute bold-faced lie, isn't it?
Well, look, by the middle of last year, and they were just ramping up, they had put a couple thousand gun dealers out of business for this so-called zero-tolerance policy that they have. I have no idea how many more they put out over the last year. But, you know, it's basically, if you've sold tens of thousands of guns, even over the last few years, and they're willing to look over 17 or 18 years in the past, and they can't find, and God knows, maybe you've sold over 100,000 or more guns over that period of time, and they can't find one tiny paperwork mistake, one trivial paperwork mistake. So they go and they say, okay, well, let's try other methods to try to put them out of business. We're going to go and impose these additional reporting requirements that are there. We'll make it so that you can't go and use financial institutions. I mean, they're gradually going to drive many of the firms out of business, or at least out of the firearms business. You know, they'll follow dicks.
But here's the question.
Just decide it's not worth it to keep selling guns.
Right. Might as well become a basketball store like Dick's Sporting Goods did. Okay, so if there's a change in the White House following November, come January, these rules and so forth can be rolled back and reassessed, can they not?
Yeah, no, that's basically the one hope that these companies have. To be staying in the business. It's one hope that people who want to have the option to be able to go and purchase those types of guns have. And it's going to be important not just for those regulations directly, but also for the courts that are there, because you're very likely during the next presidency going to replace at least Clarence Thomas or Sam Alito. And if you have a Democrat in there and they put another Jackson Brown in there, or, put in another Sotomayor, you know how they're going to be ruling in terms of people's ability to go and buy guns. And you have states like Wisconsin, where the state Supreme Court there has basically gerrymandered the state legislative districts quite dramatically. So the Democrats are going to take over the state legislature there. And, in fact, the person who won the race there that's flipped the control of the court campaigned on doing those types of changes. You're going to have even more states go and impose their own draconian type of gun control rules.
Will they be able to do that if the Supreme Court rules against the Chevron doctrine? I mean, where does it leave the states? Is this up to the states? Can the states do things individually? Well, or does the Constitution still, decide?
Well, the Chevron doctrine isn't going to be relevant for stopping the states from doing it. If they pass a law like California or New York or Illinois have done, with everything from assault weapons bans to the licensing requirements to other things, there's no way you're going to be able to stop that is with the federal courts. And the Chevron doctrine will just kind of restrain the federal government's own, bureaucracy from imposing the rules that they want.
Well, keep an eye on it. They keep saying they're all for the Second Amendment. They support illegal citizens' right to law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms. They didn't mean that. Never did mean that. It's been the long, continuous march toward disarming America. Good luck with that, I still say to them, because I don't think America, this isn't New Zealand. We're not going to turn them in voluntarily. Dr. John Lott, President of Crime Prevention Research Center. You can always do more and find out more at crimeresearch.org. Doctor, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And you can find out more at stevegruber.com as well. Follow me there. You can share this interview with your friends and say, look, if you thought it was just some sort of a conspiracy theory they were coming after your guns, listen to the truth. Go to stevegruber.com, click on the podcast. You can find it there. Thank you for being here. This is
If You're Like Me, you've wanted to buy gold for years. Lots of commercials out there, but who can you really trust? I didn't want a bad investment, but didn't want to miss the boat either. Sound familiar? Fortunately, I've got great news. If you have an IRA or 401k and want to buy physical gold, eliminate fear and uncertainty from the process using the new Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist. It helps you evaluate and choose the best gold IRA company. I used it to personally vet Augusta Precious Metals, and they are absolutely phenomenal. Use this checklist to choose the best gold IRA company. To get your free Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist today, text LEARN to 68592. Again, text LEARN, LEARN, to 68592. That's LEARN to 68592. Or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com.